This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab that cuppa and sit down for Conversations with the Mayor. Join in now as Taran speaks with our region's leaders.
Morena and welcome back to Conversations with Amir on Art FM. My name is Taran and today we have the lovely Mayor Max in the studio from the New Plymouth District Council. Kia ora, Max.
Good morning, the missing mayor from last time.
Yes, I haven't seen you for a while. You've been avoiding me.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. It probably feels like that, but one of the things I've discovered is I have to keep my calendar flexible when things pop sometimes. But
yeah.
I think last time we might have had a missed wire about, I thought you were coming up to do that lunchtime Q&A with me.
Oh, yes.
Didn't get conveyed to you, so
yeah.
Between us, and then I got into that, and the week before that, or the 2 weeks before that, there was some assertions made that there were no questions, there was no interest, and then we got swamped like we had, I think we had 36
questions. Oh, that's good.
Which took us way over the...
Yeah, the time.
So just as well you didn't come anyway, because we had all these questions to answer. So, yeah, it's a different world actually than what I'm used to. And people's expectation that you're available every second of the day, actually yeah. that's real.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had texts come through at 11:55 at night, at 2:15 in the morning, and again at 5 in the morning, and...
Far out.
And weekends.
Wow.
So
because you're not shy about sharing your cell phone number. Like, that's something I picked up on straight away.
Why would you be?
One of
the other things that has come apparent to me is quite a few people in the public sector have got two phones.
Ah, and you don't?
Absolutely not.
No, yeah.
And maybe some days that's a mistake.
Yes.
The other one with that is if you have a council phone, and this is how it was pitched to me. Sorry for going off topic.
No,
if you have a council phone, because we get quite a few Lagormas.
Yes.
So I'm going to give my phone to someone, they take it away for 2 or 3 hours or half a day to go through all the stuff, because I'm not going to be the arbiter of what comes out of my phone.
Yes, exactly.
The staff who are running that process go and look for stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes they go and get a coffee enough to go and unlock it again for them. Goes to sleep. But yeah, look, it's a demanding job actually.
Yeah.
It is. And I thought I had a handle on how demanding it would be time wise. Boy, was I wrong. And anyone who thinks they can come into the mayoralty, and if you want to do some justice to it, you're gonna be a part time mayor, forget it.
Yeah.
It's a 24/7, 365.
Yep, I've heard that. I've just thinking back on the mayors I've covered, you can see when you first go in, you know, all that energy and passion and almost a little bit of naivety, and then by the end they're quite happy to pass the chains over.
And if anybody has done 2, 3, 4 or as many terms as Neil Volsky,
I absolutely take
my hat off to them, you know. Mm-hmm. But they also, you get to a point where you know how to balance stuff, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Must become.
But, you know, we've got Neil's, it's been noted that Neil's picture isn't hanging in the chamber.
Yet. Oh, Neil Holdham's.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I guess it's because... It's all things cancelled. Things take a while, right?
Yeah.
But
I'm
starting a new tradition with that. So Neil's coming in.
I can see a cheeky smile.
Neil's going to hate me for this, right? But he's agreed to it. So Neil's coming in with his picture just before our council meeting this week.
Yeah.
And he's going to pass it over to the new mayor, and the new mayor is going to do the ceremony of hanging it on the wall.
Aww.
As a passing over of the... I thought actually...
I wonder, that's quite nice.
I can understand why it probably hasn't happened at some time. But actually, I think that's not a bad tradition to maybe kick off.
Yeah, I think that
hand
is quite
over the
nice.
Baton or the picture, has it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because you do get to pick your own portraits, don't you?
Well, I never got that option.
Didn't you?
Well, hopefully I do, yeah.
Oh, I think you do, because I remember Andrew Judd telling me that he had... He picked Pip Guthrie to take his photo, and they staged it with the Korowai, and and that was the first one.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Thanks for sharing that, because I haven't been given that level of knowledge yet, so
yeah,
I'll go back.
Yeah, inside scope.
Yeah, I might have to go on a crash diet for a month before I do that picture. I've actually enjoyed not as much exercise as I had before, and I might have put on a couple of pounds.
Well, when the job's demanding.
Oh, it's no excuse, actually. It's just... Yeah. Yeah, anyway, we didn't come here for that today, right?
You weren't using some exercise when you were up on the state highway earlier in the week?
Very little. We just had a little perambulate. That's actually was an interesting visit.
Yeah, I saw the pictures, and you were in talking to the mayor of Moko in the butchery,
yes,
was
with,
it?
With Brian. Yeah, no, that was on the way back. I just popped in to, because he's been quite forthright in some of his statements, and rightly so. He's become one of the official go-to for commentary around the effects, and that's good on him, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm mindful that it's not our district, and I didn't try to go there to rub up the mayor from the other end, because he actually would have struggled to get through. So
yes, that is true.
There's all of that stuff, but yeah.
And it may not be our district, but it impacts... You know, all the traffic flow coming into our district is...
It's interesting, isn't it? Because everything that we have, we can come around the other way. And these are all well-made points, right? Everybody in the world knows this. It's our Silk Road. I wrote something, sent into the newspaper the other day. I don't think they've published it yet. I'm pretty sure that Matt's on holiday and Glenn's been busy down at the courthouse. But that's our Silk Road, right?
Yeah.
That's our trade route.
Good analogy.
Yeah. And we're lacking that now.
Yeah, we are.
And we're hurting because of it.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm pleased the early call to arms by my fellow mayors, they responded very, very quickly. Within 2 hours, most of them had come back and said, we'll participate.
Wow,
so
that's good.
So 7 mayors. And then by the end of the day, we had the regional councils, Waikato and Horizons, on board as well. So we got that letter away requesting a meeting with NZTA, and to their credit, after a little bit of an arm wrestle, they agreed. We got a couple of times. We've gone, it takes a while to put together, right?
Like, yeah, of course it does.
They're bringing their management team and a bunch of mayors and chairs to find a day that everybody can get
good.
To. So we've got that day. It's locked in for late in May.
Good.
So that's a really good start to considering what we can do.
Will they all be able to get here?
Well, maybe that's the other reason why it's late in May. No, seriously, it's really good that actually everybody come together so quickly.
It's actually quite impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I was stoked, actually, the response from everybody, including NZTA.
Yeah.
I have to say that today, right?
You do.
Yeah.
You're seeing a minister this afternoon.
Well,
so.
That's right, and it's the old story, right? It's like the honey, vinegar, and flies story.
Yeah, catching flies.
But that doesn't mean to say that I'm gonna bow down. You know, we're gonna do some table thumping and arm wrestling, but
because your idea is it's an overpass of sorts, is it?
My idea is not fixed on any one thing. The concept is that we've got a road that services our region that we have no say over what happens to it when, all right? So it's important for them to realise that it's not just our region, it's not just New Plymouth, it's also Stratford, Hara. It affects the other state highways, and it affects the other towns that feed into that. Mm. Everyone's affected by it. And it's not my job or our job to tell them what the answer is. It's our job to say, find the money, we'll work with you, as much as we can, financially can, find the money and come up with a solution. That's our job.
Yes.
It's not. I'm not a roading expert.
Yeah, we're not roading engineers.
Well, I think I am, actually. But, you know, if I have to take a birthday cake up to that gorge every year until I leave, I'll do that.
Yeah, wow.
Actually, and we'll probably eat the cake as We'll share it with
Waitomo.
But yeah, that's the reality. That's our Silk Road, and it needs fixing. Right?
And so when you were up there the other day, what did it look like?
It looked like the guys had done a heap of work cleaning that up. You know, the digger operators, the truck drivers, there was truckloads of mud that they've hauled out from across the road. There's the damage that some of those have done. You can still see the tide marks along the side of the road of how much mud there was. So for them to pull it out as quickly as they did well.
Mm.
There's been all sorts of stories about just push it over into the river. Well, you couldn't really do that.
No, then you're creating
quite a few of the places hazard. Actually would have just spilled down over the bank a bit further and killed a whole lot of vegetation. Yeah. You can't do that now, right? You've got to clean it up properly.
Yeah, you do.
But that also reinforces the point that we need to fix it properly so we're not doing this again.
Yeah. And the other thing that kind of struck me when I saw that picture of just how much dirt and mud there was we've had a fatal landslide this year in Aotearoa. You know, looking at that, it looks very similar.
That's a good point, actually, because that's something that hasn't been very well articulated or spoken about anywhere, that they didn't know. Unless someone filed a missing persons report about someone they were expecting to turn up, they didn't know if someone was under there or not.
Mm.
Actually, they didn't know. How would you know?
That's scary.
And what brought it home for me is my silly elderly parents, who live in a rest home in Tauranga, drove down that road that afternoon, didn't tell us they were coming.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I get a phone call from the old man, you know, hey, we've just rocked into town, we're on our way, make sure you've done the dishes and got a bed, mate. And it's like, when did you leave?
Far out.
That road's just closed.
Far out.
You know, so that, them aside, that scenario could have been anybody.
Yeah.
Like, there could have been someone on a motorbike under that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have known.
That's exactly right.
You know, so we've had Mangatoki Gord, Mangatoki the hill down there a few years ago. Elderly lady got killed by a falling boulder.
Yes, I covered that story.
Yeah, you know, so
I know
that
exactly. And that's, you know, we've got the interruption to our Northern Corridor, but you've also got lives to protect in this space as well.
Well, that's the conversation, right? And the other thing that nobody's really been talking about is we got a little pimple up here behind us that used to be a volcano once upon a time.
Yes.
If something's going on with that, that's our road out.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be alarmist, but...
No, you're right.
But actually, that road needs to stay open.
Yeah, it does.
And in the report that was done way back after the 1998 flood events, they come to the conclusion that the probable closure would be 2 days a year going forward. So they'd identified, I think it was 31 slip points through the Awakino Gorge, and some improvements they could do as well at either end, you know, the tunnel and that new bit of road and a few bends that they could straighten out in the passing or pull over lane for slow traffic. And they've done all that work, but the slip sites have never been properly identified, addressed. So 31 slip sites. Well, 2 weeks ago now, we had 34 overslips and 6 underslips.
Oh my gosh.
So we haven't done anything with that, right?
Yeah.
We've waited until they all became active, plus a few.
Oh.
And now that all that bank's exposed, it's going to happen again. So the reality of it is that our 2 days a year, we just surpassed that in one 12-month period for the last 25 years.
Far out.
So the business case should be saying it's time to do it.
Mm.
Actually, the business case will be saying, if you look at it like that, the numbers talk for themselves. I don't have to make a case. Mm. It's made itself, right?
Yeah, it has.
And so now we just have to work out how to get the money from the government.
Yeah.
From a government that has got the biggest tax take it's ever had in the history of New Zealand government, to then turn around and say, there's not enough money. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Find the money. That's going to be my simple message. Come on, guys. Find the money.
Yeah, that's a good message.
Yeah. It's time.
It is time. Especially, I didn't realise that those slips were identified in 1998.
Well, they've known about them for forever. We've managed them, and, you know, we go in and we do the minimal $30,000 clean-up of the stuff that lands on the road. But at some point, there comes a time where it's too much and we've got to stop.
Far out, man.
I love my job because I get to see all this stuff and I can work out how we can go and work out how to fix it or sort it out or get a better outcome.
Yeah,
I love my job.
Aww. Even if you get text messages at midnight.
Oh, I block those people now. I've learned, especially after my wife's like, "Why's your phone on?"
Yeah, keeping her awake all night.
Well, anyway, I won't go there.
So The other mayors who are involved in this table talk with NZTA, they're all of the same mindset, aren't they?
Well, we haven't had that much detailed conversation, but everybody's affected by it.
Yeah.
And once we get the chance, we'll have a pre-meeting meeting, because that's what we do. We have meetings to talk about what we're going to have a meeting about. But yeah, well, we're all of the same. I mean, all of New Zealand's saying, look, like I've talked to Rahet, the mayor of Gisborne. Yep. They've got the same problems over there, right? Every road that's got a bit of a difficult access, well, we've all got the same problems.
Yeah.
I've just got to make sure that, because I had a bit of a challenge with Rahet. I said, I'll get more mayors signed up to my cause than you do with yours. And she lost. Actually, if you're listening, Rahet, yeah, thanks for that.
Owe you a coffee.
But they've got less districts that are affected. We've got, not being nasty or rude to Rahet's situation over there, because they've got exactly the same problems. They've got roads that, and if you look back at where those roads were built, they're built up the edge of rivers, the bottom of hills, because back once upon a time that was the track that was easy for horse and cart.
Yes, that's
right. We've still got them.
Yeah.
So over the years we've gone around the country and we've progressively upgraded the roads, we've smoothed out corners, we've built new sections where they need building, but the really problematic bits, they still exist.
Mm.
And that's where we're at. It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
Yeah. Is the answer a new road?
Probably.
Yeah.
So here's one that'll really throw everyone who's listening a curveball. I challenge people's thinking, right? And this is so left field that people will go, you can't do that. But I like that, right? Because you probably can't. But actually, if you think about, we've got an energy problem in this country.
Yeah.
All right. And we've got a power station at Huntly that we're looking at dwindling gas to power at peak times. So they import coal from Indonesia to power that.
Oh.
Bear with me, all right? This is going somewhere.
Okay.
So they import low-grade, dirty coal because it's cheap to run that power station. If we're struggling to find the money for that road, that bypass up at Mokau and through the Awakino, that land is coal reserve. All that land on that land side of the Awakino Gorge, a lot of that land is designated as coal. There's coal in there.
Is there?
Yes.
Oh,
there's mountains of coal all through there, all up through Mokau, through Awakino. That's designated coal reserve land.
Oh, wow.
Even though it's privately owned on top, it's underneath is the coal. So why would we not look at it and go, instead of importing dirty coal from Indonesia, why don't we think about, let's get the coal out, let's build a road that's fit for purpose and use some of the coal that we're pulling out of the ground to pay for the road.
Yeah.
It's an alternate funding.
I can see the...
So that'll rub a whole lot of people up the wrong way.
Yeah, but actually, I was going to say, I'm not sure if I'm okay with the use of coal,
but
I can see
anyway.
The logic in
it. We've got it, right?
Yeah.
We've got it because we have to have it. Because you wait till wintertime when there's no gas, and that's only a year away.
Yeah.
When there's no main gas supply, when Maui shuts down, and there'll be a little bit of gas to keep us stuttering along. But we need energy. And until the wind farms are built, until everything's converted to electricity, we need to get realistic about what the problem is.
Mm.
We need energy to run those power stations. So the way that we could do all of these things is pull the pieces together potentially and go, you know what, it's not going to be a 5-minute fix, but this is something that we could think about as a country, as an alternate method of funding.
Well, it definitely does throw some options on the table that are perhaps not usually thought about, and I think that kind of lateral thinking
is terrifying.
Is equally terrifying, but deserves to be explored.
Oh, look, it probably won't. It's not practical from a fast enough point of view, right? But actually, if you were thinking about it, and it's going to take 10 years plus to get some wind farms built offshore or wherever they're going to end up, it could be. And it will solve two problems, short, medium term.
Watch this space.
Ah, that's
we'll see what NZTA says to you about that one.
That's on my pay grade.
Now we've got about 10 minutes left, and I wanted to talk to you about the Public Engagement Committee.
Yep.
Now this has been in the news in the last month, and I haven't seen you since, been busy, but if anyone out there doesn't know, someone spoke at the Public Engagement Committee about early Taranaki history and its impact on council decision making today. And that person talked about what many have since said are conspiracy theories and misinformation. Things like Māori land had not been confiscated in Northern Taranaki, an accusation that iwi were deceiving councillors with false history and councils having the wool pulled over their eyes. This person even questioned if Māori were indigenous. What I want to ask you about, and obviously there's been quite a bit of a fallout from this with, you know, Councillor Woodward and Murray Chong having beef with each other in the media and, you know, a whole bunch of things. But what I wanted to ask you about is this public engagement committee, which you set up this term.
Yep.
Who is vetting the speakers, and are there policies around that vetting process and who gets to speak? And
I wouldn't say there's a vetting process, because a public engagement is by very nature of what it is, right? It's like, let people come in and have a discussion. I mean, we've had people come and talk about fluoride.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody, one of the things that I'm mindful is everybody comes in sometimes and they speak their truth. So whether it's right or wrong, I've always wanted to have to afford people the right to come and have a voice.
Yeah,
right?
I do.
So it needs to be respectful.
It does, and because it I appreciate your sentiment in that.
So,
but I'm kind of disappointed in the council that our council platforms are being used to.
So that's something we have to work out how we handle better, right?
Yeah,
I absolutely agree with that.
Because I do like the sentiment of everyone having their say, but...
But then, because then you start to get into the whole free speech, you know, and... But again, anybody that comes in, it needs to be respectful.
Yeah. That's kind of the same rule we have here, is that be respectful and do no harm to, you know, don't say harmful things about other people. That's generally the rule that we have here. And I would like to see something like
that. I think
that
should be
like
a life rule, isn't it?
Yeah, that's I agree. That's what I try and teach my six-year-old, right? Like,
good luck.
Yeah, I'm still trying.
Because kids are brutally honest, right?
Oh, they are.
You know?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, they are indeed. Yeah. No, absolutely. It needs to be respectful. People come in, speak at council, public engagement.
Yeah.
It's a public forum, and it needs to be respectful.
Yep, whatever, I totally agree.
Whatever the topic, whatever you may feel personally, there are some standards that we have to maintain.
Yeah.
And we will be.
Yeah, because it is, you know, we, Taranaki has had a reputation in the past for being a bit of a redneck region from people, and I don't want to see that reputation come back. I think
we've made
council,
some good strides.
I think we have too, And I think our council is, you know, it's a public asset. It's a public, yes, it's a public forum, but public spaces, we shouldn't be allowing them to be filled with misinformation that is harmful.
I agree.
Yeah, okay. So is there a policy potentially in development for the public engagement committee?
Not a formal policy as such, no. No, we haven't had that conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who, at the end of the day, like if, say, 20 people put their name forward to speak at public engagement, do they tell you what they want to speak about? Is that how it works?
Sometimes people will send in their whole presentation.
Ah,
sometimes people
right.
will just make a request to come and speak, and it's a headline topic.
Yeah, okay.
And, yeah, we can do better with that.
Yeah, perhaps if there was some sort of, I don't know.
Well,
I don't
moderator,
know
right? Yeah, yeah, watch yourself for moderator.
Yeah.
So, because, I mean, I don't want public engagement committee to turn into a version of Facebook.
Oh, I totally agree.
You know?
Yeah, we see it enough in the comments section.
But I'm also mindful that people have their opinions and they want to be able to voice them. So again, it needs to be respectful, mindful of what you're speaking about.
Yeah, and also there's a difference between opinion and fact. Sometimes.
Wow. Good luck with that.
Totally. But, you know, when we're dealing with things like, I would say, you know, Māori rights or, you know, like someone's sexuality or anything that is mildly contentious on Facebook, like we can't have a official public forum that. It's like when I was at the newspaper, we never published court stories on Facebook because we were the platform, and if anyone broke name suppression on our Facebook page, we were in trouble.
Right.
And it's, yeah. You know, you're the platform.
Sorry,
you're
hosting. It took me a while to draw that because I was thinking newspaper, Facebook connection.
Yeah.
I was playing catch up there.
Yeah, so. But it is. It's that, like, you're the platform, you're hosting it. Yeah. There is some sort of moral responsibility, yeah. I think. Watch the space. And now the chair of that committee is, of course, Murray Chong. And Murray has just finished his first 6 months as the deputy mayor.
Yeah.
How do you think he went?
Well, those people that know Murray were probably expecting a little different Murray.
Yes.
So he's had a period of learning a new role.
Mm.
And there's been days where I've had to say, Murray, could that be the best thing that you do? And he's actually learnt a lot. He's come a long way, actually.
That's good. And I think
the second 6 months, when that comes around in a year's time, we might see a different Murray.
Yeah, and that's quite interesting. Like, to begin with, I was a little bit like, oh, why are you doing it in the six-month blocks? But now I can see the benefit in
Well, it was only because I couldn't have three concurrent, right?
That's right.
Yeah. It was like
just Max trying to get around the rules.
Well, it was almost, because I looked at things like, oh, you know what, you spread pretty thin. Right.
Yeah.
And different people have different attributes and skills.
Mm.
So if you look across, I mean, in a perfect world, they'd all be deputy mayors, all 14 of them, right?
Yeah.
To have some gravitas or have use their skills in a way that actually people were expecting them to do.
Yeah, spread the skill set and responsibility.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And then basically I could come in the morning, put my feet up on the desk and sip coffee while they do all the work. How good would that be?
They could monitor your phones for you, Max.
Well, they could, yeah.
And now we're stepping into, well, we've just stepped into 6 months with Moira Irving George.
Moira George. So she started on Friday, and she's filled with enthusiasm and youthful vim and vigour. And she's ready to charge out and turn her growth committee into something really positive for town.
Good, yeah.
And we'll have, I mean, the thing I like about Moira, she's going to do all those awkward social things that I'm no good at.
Because
my wife keeps telling me you're a social retard. don't go and...
I'm not sure you can use that word anymore, Max.
Well, that's what she tells me,
That's funny. Shout out to the wife. You just told me how long you'd been married for before we came on
don't
here.
Don't tell. Yeah, she's not proud of that. Oh, she's trying to hide that, so we'll keep that. Yeah.
Okay, okay. But shout out to the wife. Sounds
thanks.
Like she...
Yeah, I'll tell her that you felt her pain.
Yeah. Awesome. And then Moira's got 6 months, and then we are on to Gordon Brown.
The old war horse.
Good old Gordon.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Interesting, and then we do it all again.
Come around again, and
hopefully everyone gets better at what they're doing.
It's the goal for all of us in life, really.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
Yeah, don't make the same mistake twice.
No, or three or four times.
Yeah.
Right, now I'll let you go because I know you've got a minister that you're about to talk to.
I've got 15 minutes to talk about. We have the Minister for Seniors in town.
Yeah, awesome.
So it'll be interesting to hear what things the government are going to bring for. We of the older generation, you're too young to know yet, but you'll find out one day.
Yeah, I'm 40 this year, so I feel like...
Is that all? Yeah. Oh, you're a baby.
I'd like to think so, but my body doesn't agree.
Wait till you get to 60 plus, 70.
Yeah, if I'm fortunate enough. Yeah, I always think it's a privilege to age. Yeah. Anyway, won't keep you any longer. No. Thank you for coming in today, Max, and I look forward to seeing you again next month. Don't forget me.
Yes. You do. Just make sure there's no crises to attend to.
Mā te wā whānau.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.